and happy all array. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day, drinking at the spring of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied, drinking at the spring of living water.
Well, good to see you. Sounds great. That's a great song. I've never sang that song before, but what a great song that is. And you folks sound really, really good. Choir's working on Christmas, and I thought to myself, my, we're already back around to almost December. And what a great time. Take your Bibles, please, and join me over in 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Hope you had a good afternoon. We certainly did. And we came from the south. We came from the week before last, we were in Georgia. And then last week, we were in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And now it feels like fall here. And so the weather's changing. The seasons are changing. And we've enjoyed our afternoon. And good to see you. And you have a Declan here, huh? He's the newest visitor so far. That's an interesting name, Declan. Does it mean man of prayer? I've heard one other family that named their son Declan, and he's about 3 years old now in North Carolina. And so what a good name. And kind of goes along with our message tonight. We're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter number 17 and 18. Not going to preach every verse, certainly, in those passages, but we're going to look at what I call the Patriot's Prayer. And let's pray together, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we do come to you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we have promises in the Scripture that never fail. We thank you for the blood of Christ that never loses its power. We thank you for a church that is open and inviting. And Lord, that's been the testimony of many that I've heard over the years about Grace Baptist Church. It's a friendly church and a warm and inviting church. And Lord, I believe that pleases you, and I pray that that would continue. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us in a special way tonight as we take a few moments and just open up the Scriptures. I pray that you'd give me liberty in preaching. And I pray that, Lord, you'd just help us to listen and obey and consider what we hear. And Lord, I pray for Sarah and the young kids as they're having their program. I pray that, Lord, you'd work in their hearts as well. And if she has young people this week that aren't saved, I pray that they would hear the gospel and respond this week. And we're thankful for your goodness. Thank you for the gospel. Never loses its power. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a day and age where it seems like sometimes America's a foreign country. Not because of all the different nationalities that are here. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that those who want to come can come and partake in probably one of the greatest nations in the history of the world. And I have a soft spot, of course, in my heart for the United States of America. I served as a soldier for 8 years and enjoyed the United States field artillery. I really enjoyed blowing things up. It never did help me to get a civilian job, but that's okay. And we had a good time. But I love this country. And I thought about, man, is there going to become a day when America is not worth fighting for? And as long as America has a constitution that's riveted in Bible principles, then it's always worth fighting for. And I think about this country and in comparison to Israel, and it could be for any country for that matter, but there's only two countries that have been founded on the Word of God. One is Israel and one is the United States of America. And it's just very interesting to me. And so as we travel around, we're in some places. We were just west of Chicago just the other week, about 3 weeks ago, and you didn't see a whole lot of flags flying there. And the mood's just a little bit different there. And sometimes you go to places, and I'm not casting stones or making accusations, but there's some places you go where they make you feel a little bit uneasy about flying the United States flag. And I just want to encourage you, no matter what happens in America, now or later, don't lose your patriotism. And patriotism in a country that honors the Lord is always good. And respect your flag and fly your flag. And I understand, I want to just go ahead and say, our citizenship, if you're saved, is not in America. Ultimately, it's in heaven. And I'm an ambassador for Christ. And my job and your job is to make him look good. But tonight, I want to preach to you about a patriot and his prayer life. And that patriot's name is Elijah. And notice what the Scripture says in chapter 17 and verse number 1. It kind of just introduces him very briefly. And the Scripture says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth." You know what he believed about God? That God's not dead. He's alive. And he's accessible. And that he's able. And Elijah, we would refer to as Elijah the prophet many times. He stands in front of wicked King Ahab, and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." It's interesting. Elijah steps on the pages of Scripture, and right away he's ushering to Ahab his prophecy that it wouldn't rain. Now, Israel is an agricultural society. Guess what they need? They need rain. Maybe here in this part of Illinois, maybe you guys need rain. I think you do. Yesterday when we got here, one of our motives when we pull up to a place is we find out a place to stake our dog. And for the last few months, we've been carrying around one of those dog stakes that you screw into the ground. You know, you screw it in and he can run around. And we give Charlie about a 10-foot line rope. That's all he needs. And so he's okay. He can wear himself out with that. And he's not deprived. And so yesterday I said, hey, T, go ahead and stake Charlie out. And he said, man, I tried. I can't get that thing even to break the ground. You know, it's so hard. And so I went out there with a hammer and we got it about halfway into the ground. And you know what happened? We twisted the whole thing apart and had to go out and get something that you can hammer into the ground to keep the dog. And so society, humanity, we all depend on rain. And Elijah looks at Ahab and said, hey, it's going to stop raining. God's going to stop the rain. And it's kind of interesting, the context. You have a couple of key players in 1 Kings chapter number 17 and 18 and 19. You have Ahab. Ahab, you know what he is? He's wicked King Ahab. When it comes to his leadership, he's spineless. He's just like a puppet on a string. He doesn't stand for what's right. He's self-serving. He's selfish. He's immature. He's unspiritual. And to make it worse, he's married to wretched Jezebel. Now, I've met a lot of Hannahs, and I've met a lot of Elizabeths, and I've met a lot of Marys, and I've met a lot of Ruths, but I've never heard a Christian family name their sweet little girl Jezebel. Maybe they have, but I haven't heard that. And you know why? Because she was a wicked woman. She's not somebody you would want to name your daughter after. She was a Phoenician idol worshiper. She hated Jehovah God, the God of this Bible. She hated Jehovah's prophets. She was also self-serving, and she was a murderer and just a vile and wicked woman. So you have wicked King Ahab, and you have the wretched queen Jezebel. The order of the day when Elijah steps on the scene is what the Old Testament would call Baal worship. Baal was the god of fertility, and in that agricultural society, a lot of the pagans would call upon the rain gods to send the rain and give their crops a fruitful harvest, if you will, and it was called Baal worship. Today in America, we would probably equate Baal worship to materialism. Hey, whatever makes your life comfortable, whatever makes your life easy. And this is the scene that Elijah steps on. And Elijah in Hebrew, his name means my God is Jehovah. Isn't that interesting? In an idolatrous culture, he steps on the scene and everybody knows whose side Elijah's on. And Elijah, we commonly refer to him as Elijah the what? The prophet. And we think about his boldness that we'll read about in just a moment. But you know what? Elijah was more of a prayer warrior than he was a prophet. And he was a patriot. He loved his country. He was willing to invest for his country. He was willing to fight for his country. And tonight we're going to look at the patriot Elijah's prayer. And the first thing that we see really from chapter 17 and verse number 1, where he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to what? My word. And you get just a little insight into the prayer warrior Elijah's life. And we're going to look at three simple aspects of his prayer life that we can apply to our own prayer lives. Number one, Elijah, you see that he prayed defiantly. He prayed defiantly. Now, if we were in Illinois and in an agricultural society, which many in this area would be, and if it didn't rain, what would we be praying for? We'd pray for rain. We pray, Lord, send the rain. Maybe there's people praying, send the rain, and we need the rain. But it's interesting, in contrast, Elijah, he prayed defiantly. He did not pray, Lord, send the rain. He prayed what? Lord, stop the rain. And I think about when it's in regards to the United States of America, we say, Lord, please, God, bless America. How about America, please bless God. And I think about all the activities that go around this country, and I think the hand of God is still on this country, and I'm thankful for the liberties that we have. We might not have them for the next generation, but it's interesting, all these different things from the legalization of drugs that we know are not good for you, to abortion, to everything in between. God cannot and will not bless America as long as America is legalizing sin. It's just not going to happen. Those two things don't go together, God's blessing and sin. And so Elijah steps on the scene, and he looks at wicked King Ahab, and he said, guess what? It's going to not rain. And he prayed defiantly. Have you ever thought about praying that way? Pray defiantly. Maybe praying like this, Lord, do whatever you have to do to get a hold of our country, whatever you have to do. I know preachers for years that have been praying not just for revival in America, but praying for another great awakening. If you study history, you'll find there's been at least two, maybe three great awakenings, and there's a little difference of opinion on that, and some would say maybe even four or five great awakenings in the history of this country. I believe the last two were maybe counterfeits. I'm not really sure, but there have been men that have been praying for a long time that God would awake and God would shake America, and they're praying defiantly, Lord, do whatever you have to do. I know many preachers that back in March, you know, when everything started to fall out, you know, the nuclear fallout and things started going crazy. And I knew preachers that were praying more intensely than ever before. And they were praying that, hey, this might be the doorstep of another great awakening. Lord, do whatever you have to do to get our attention. You know what he did? He stopped the country almost in an instant. And guess what? He got a lot of people's attention. When it came to sports, boy, that stopped. And I thought about that. I said, boy, I hope this thing gets settled before the NFL season starts up. I love watching football. And then all the political mess that goes along with the sports now. And I like to watch football. I like sports as much as anybody else. But don't bring the politics in it. We don't want to know whose side you're on. We just want to see you smash your heads together and run the ball. We don't need to see all that, and it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if the NFL lost their shirt because of their political stand. But what I'm trying to say is Elijah, he prayed defiantly, and basically he prayed, Lord, stop the rain, do whatever you have to do in our country to get our attention, and guess what? It stopped. Would you be willing to pray that way? A good friend of mine that I went to Bible college with, he got saved a little bit later in life, as well as I did, and when he came to Bible college, he had six kids, and he came to Bible college, and I got to know those kids, and it took several years to get through Bible college, and we were in school together, and his desire, he was in business, but his desire was to get his degree in Bible, and he wanted to pastor a church, and so I graduated and got into evangelism, and he graduated and began to look for a church position somewhere as a pastor, and he was discouraged. He found out that there's a lot of churches that need pastors, but they don't want a pastor that's in his 50s that has no pastoral experience. And it was hard, but he was doing a good job raising his kids, and I got to know his boys really, really well when they got in their teens and early 20s, and one of his boys was surrendered to be an evangelist, and he was attending the same Bible college that his daddy did, and after about a year or two, his heart began to change, and he began to be critical of just about everything that was put in front of him. He began in a negative way to take a critical look at the Word of God and a critical look at rules and a critical look at standards and just a critical look at everything. And by the way, that's a good indicator that your heart's not right with God if you're criticizing and being critical about everything. And so he was just being critical, and he started a relationship with a young lady that wasn't best, and And his parents communicated that to him and treated him like a man, but communicated, hey, we don't think this is best, and all this is not going in the wrong direction, and you're being distracted and you're being deterred. And boy, even as a saved young man, his heart just began to harden and harden and harden. And this couple, they met with the pastor, and they told the pastor, we have a burden for our son, and we really don't know what to do. And the pastor says, have you committed him to prayer, committed him to the Lord? And this is what the mother said. She's a godly woman. She said, I'm praying that God will do whatever he has to do to get my son's attention. You know what that is? That's praying defiantly. And I'm not saying you ought to pray that way, but you ought to consider it. And it wasn't long. It was just a couple of weeks after that. It was the summer before this past summer. I got a phone call that gave me some information that it was a very tragic hunting accident. And their son was hunting hogs down in southeast Georgia. And there was about three or four of them that were hunting hogs. And they were using night vision scopes. And they were hunting at night. And the inevitable happened in a freak hunting accident. He was shot and killed instantly. And I'm not saying that was a result of his mother's prayer, but certainly it could have been. And sometimes we say, Lord, bless us. And we say, Lord, help us. And we say, Lord, what are we withholding from you? What are you withholding from us? And we pray that way. And you know what? A lot of times I think that we need to pray defiantly. And it's really not about what we want, but it's about what God wants. And Elijah, in his patriot's prayer, he prays defiantly that it wouldn't rain. Now let's fast forward to chapter 18 and verse number 1. Chapter 18 and verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the what? Third year, three years without rain. Could you imagine? Can you imagine how dusty and how desperate these people would have been? 3 years in an already dry climate. And the scripture says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in the land of Samaria. And so we get a little commentary. Ahab and the prophet Obadiah, they're out looking for some kind of substance for their livestock and their horses. And Ahab comes up with a plan, and he says, you go this way, and I'll go this way, and we got to find some kind of grass for these horses, or they're going to die. And it's in that context that Elijah reveals himself or shows himself unto Ahab. Fast forward all the way down to verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. And then verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? That's what they say about all the preachers in America. The preachers are the one causing all the problems. The Apostle Paul and those preached all through the region of Galatia and all those different places. And you know what they did to them? In Philippi, they threw them in prison. It's the preachers causing all the trouble. And they'll say, hey, it's those you like you that attend church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday, Tuesday. You're the ones causing all the trouble. You guys are too extreme. And Ahab says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Verse 18, notice how Elijah responds. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Wasn't he a bold prophet? And you know what I think his source of boldness was? The evangelist Leonard Ravenhill said years ago that if you'll bow in the presence of a holy God, then you can stand in the presence of any man. And Elijah was one of those people who spent time in the presence of God. So when it was coming time to show himself to Ahab, he pointed his finger at Ahab. He says, I'm not the one that's troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Verse 19, therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab went unto all the children of Israel and gathered up the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came and unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Have you ever been in a situation that's polarizing? I mean, he stood up in the midst on top of Mount Carmel. And basically he says, hey, whose team are you on? Who is on the Lord's side? If the Lord's God, well, guess what? Follow him. But if Baal's God, then follow him. But don't ride the fence. You know what the problem is with those that ride the fence? You don't know whose team they're on. Are they on this team? Are they on that team? And so Elijah, he's addressing the situation. He says in verse number 22, then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And ye call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. I heard a preacher title this passage years ago. He called this Hot Carmel Sunday. And I've been trying to justify using that title, but I can't tell if it's the first day of the week, so I just don't use it. But it's interesting to think about this contest. And Elijah said, this is what we're going to do. You're going to take a bull, and you're going to dress it, and you're going to put it on the altar. And then I'm going to take a bull, and I'm going to dress it, and I'm going to put it on the altar, and we're going to call, and the God that answers by fire, let that God be God. Boy, you want to talk about some boldness. Some holy boldness. And what would you do? What would you do? Boy, I don't know exactly how I would handle the situation, but I'd want to make sure I was in tune and in touch with the Lord of heaven. And so he initiates this contest, and the Bible says in verse number 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And can you imagine? There's a lot of emotion and a lot of enthusiasm. But let me just encourage you with this thought. Just because there's emotion and just because there's enthusiasm doesn't make it right. And so they're enthusiastic about their worship of their false god. And they're crying from morning into even. They're crying, oh, Baal, hear us. And they leap upon the altar. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing. Maybe he's in a conversation. Maybe I need to turn up the volume a little bit. Maybe he's on a business venture, or he is in a journey. Maybe he's traveling. Or peradventure he sleepeth. Maybe he's asleep. Y'all fellas need to crank it up just a little bit because nobody's answering. Verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. You know what I think? Go figure. They're crying to a God that cannot answer. They're crying to a God that might have ears that can't see. They might have or ears that cannot hear. They might have eyes that can't see. An idol has a mouth, but it can't speak. And then Elijah says in verse number 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It's interesting, on top of Mount Carmel, my wife and I were there. It's a beautiful place. And on top of Mount Carmel, you have about a 360-degree view, and up there's a statue that commemorates this event right here in the Hebrews, and there's a statue of Elijah on top of a pillar, and you know what he has in his hand? A sword. You know why? Because the patriot is willing to fight for his country. And Elijah's there with his sword, and he calls the people near. He says, come near unto me. And the Bible says he'd repaired an altar of the Lord that was broken down. You know what that tells me about Mount Carmel? That at some point in time, somebody was up on the mountain and worshiping God, but it had been a while. So Elijah begins to reorganize, and he begins to rebuild the altar to the Lord. In verse number 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid them on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. That's 12 barrels of water. And so if you kind of just get your mental picture here, there's wood, there's an altar, there's a bull that's dressed out, and it's on the altar. And Elijah has dug a trench all the way around the altar. If you can envision a really good sandcastle, any good sandcastle, if you're going to have a good sandcastle, you got to put a moat around it, right? And you fill that up with water, and then he has 12 barrels of water poured onto that sacrifice, and it's totally saturated. It's totally, totally saturated. And if anything's going to happen, if this thing's going to go up, it's going to have to be God. And so the stage is set, and the Bible says in verse 35, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now, if you're Elijah, would you understand all that? I mean, God's already told him when Elijah was initiated into the ministry, God said, Elijah, go tell Ahab that it's not going to rain. The rain's going to stop. Stop the rain. Pray defiantly. And now Elijah's in this situation. There's wicked King Ahab. There's all these false prophets. It's been a long and intense day. And boy, there's people that are trying to cover their wounds from trying to worship their false god. And Elijah rebuilds the altar and puts the sacrifice, and all the water comes on that. And boy, now it's what we would call do or die. And just imagine if you were in that situation. Boy, if God didn't show up, you'd be in big trouble. And Elijah begins to pray, and he says that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Elijah didn't have to understand what he had to do. He just had to obey. And so he obeys, and he does all that he's supposed to do. In verse 37, notice he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. You know how he prayed? Number one, he prayed defiantly. But number two, he prayed dependently. Dependently. Man, Lord, if you don't show up, we're in big trouble. I mean, the stage is set. The bullock is here. We've saturated this thing with water. And Lord, if you don't show up, we are in big, big trouble. Can I tell you, if the Lord takes his hand of blessing, and maybe he's already started to do it off of our country and off of America, guess what? We are in big, big trouble. And you know what? We might just need to try praying defiantly. Lord, whatever you have to do to shake us, whatever you have to do to break us, Lord, stop the rain. And maybe when God begins to take things away for a little while, and maybe you go 3 years with some unusual virus traveling all over the place and shutting down the restaurants and shutting down the sports and causing all this trouble all over the country. Maybe after 3 or 4 years, maybe God would have our attention. And so he prayed defiantly, and Elijah prayed desperately. He said, Lord, stop the rain. And then he prayed, Lord, send the fire. Boy, they needed rain, but God sent fire. And he was in a desperate situation. Let's finish out the passage. The Bible says in verse 38, Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for notice with me, for there is a sound of abundance of what? Rain. Do you remember the song? There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Boy, imagine 3 years, no rain. I mean, all this intensity, the fire falls from heaven. And Elijah says, Ahab, you better get ready because I hear some rain. Often the distance, the rain is coming. And the Bible says in verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Ahab went to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth. And he put his face between his knees. Can you see the prophet there? And he just goes from this act of boldness and calls upon the Lord to send fire from heaven. And in the next moment, I kind of just envision him almost in the fetal position. And you know what he's doing? The patriot is praying desperately. He's prayed defiantly. Now he's continuing. He's praying desperately. He's got his face between his knees, verse 43. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass that at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And the Bible says, and there was a great rain. Man, I love the patriot, the prophet, and the prayer warrior, Elijah. And he prayed defiantly for his country. Lord, stop the blessing. Lord, stop the rain. Then he prayed desperately, desperately, Lord, send the fire. And then after that, the rain came back. But notice with me one last passage. Take your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5 in your New Testament. Somebody once said that the best commentary on the Bible is what? Is the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about itself. And you see the prophet step on the scene, and you see his boldness, and you see the contest, and boy, you see the contrast of how the false prophets prayed all day and nothing, and Elijah prays one little simple prayer of faith, and God sends the fire. He prayed desperately, and he prayed defiantly. But notice what James says about this situation in James chapter number 5. Now, can anybody tell me what James was known for? If you study the historical context of James, he had a nickname called, his nickname was called Camel Knees. You ever heard that before? James's nickname was called Camel Knees, and his knees were all knobby. You know why they were all messed up and knobby? Because he spent time on his knees in prayer seeking the God of heaven. And so it takes one to know one. You ever heard that before? And James is a prayer warrior, so he knows a prayer warrior when he sees one and reads about one. And notice what he says in verse number 15, James chapter 5. And it says, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Somebody says, I prayed for a loved one, and God didn't heal him. Hey, if they knew Christ as Savior, they're healed right now. And they're a lot better off than they ever had been before. The Bible says in verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then here's James's illustration as he closes. He says, Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that means? That Elijah struggled with some of the same things we struggled with. Struggled maybe with doubt. I mean, you read 1 Kings 17, and boy, it's obedience and victory and provision. And you read chapter number 18, which we just read, and it was obedience and victory. And boy, it's like he's on shouting ground and God's sending fire and sending rain. And you come to 1 Kings chapter 19, and you know what Elijah's doing? He's running. He's running for his life. He's so fearful. You know why? Because he struggled with the same things that you and I struggle with: fear and doubt and not understanding all the details. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, I don't know about you, but I know when Elijah came behind Elijah, that's why he said, "Lord, I want a double portion of his power, of his blessing. I want a double portion. I want to be able to get a hold of the ear of God like Elijah did in a big way." Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and guess what? It didn't for 3.5 years. Isn't that amazing? I mean, would God answer your prayer that way? I was always encouraged in my Christian life to pray specifically. Pray so specifically that only God could answer that prayer. Not general, "Lord, bless us," and "Lord, help us," but specific prayer. And so here he is, and the Bible says that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." And so how did the prayer, the patriot and the prophet Elijah pray? Number one, when it came to his country, he prayed defiantly. Would you consider praying that way for America? "Lord, take away the blessing if you have to. Lord, make it real uncomfortable if you have to." I'm not saying pray for persecution, but the fact of the matter is it might come. But you know how Elijah, he didn't pray, "Lord, bless them." He said, "Lord, stop the rain." He prayed defiantly. And then he prayed desperately. "Oh, Lord, send the fire." Would you be willing to pray that way for your country? Can I tell you, your country desperately right now needs prayer. Desperately. I don't watch the news, and I don't advise watching the news, but I don't have to watch it to know what's going on the political scene. It's everywhere. And you know what? It's interesting to read about the nation of Israel, and their history was marred and marked by civil war. You study American history, and in the middle 1800s, our country is marred and marked by civil war. And I have my own opinions about that. But somebody would say, could it happen again in America? Absolutely, it could happen again. And you know what? God needs some patriots that'll pray defiantly. And God needs some patriots that'll pray desperately. "Oh, Lord, send a fire. Light it up. Show your power right here in this country. Send another great awakening, oh, Lord." And then thirdly, Elijah prayed diligently. He prayed diligently. He didn't just pray once. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he kept on praying. And he kept on praying, and you see the pattern. God stopped the rain, God sent the fire, and then God sent the rain. And the Bible says that he prayed how? Earnestly or diligently. And my clarion call to you tonight in the United States of America: is our country perfect? Absolutely not. But when I study the Patriot's Prayer of Elijah, I say, boy, he prayed a little differently than I pray sometimes. And I just want to beseech you that tonight, if you haven't prayed for your country, or you haven't been in the habit of praying for your country, the United States of America is worthy of your prayers. But would you pray defiantly? Would you pray desperately? And would you pray diligently that God would have his way in our country? Would you bow your heads with me tonight in prayer, please? In just a moment, I will pray and close in prayer. And we'll have an invitation. We'll have one stanza of an invitation hymn. And when that happens, I want to invite you to pray for your country. Pray, Lord, do whatever you have to do to get a hold of the people in this country. Maybe your prayer might even be a little bit more personal. Lord, do whatever you have to do to get a hold of my grandson. Lord, do whatever you have to do to get a hold of my husband. Lord, do whatever you have to do to get a hold of my wife. Lord, maybe it's even this personal. Lord, do whatever you have to do to get a hold of me. Shake me and break me if you must. And then pray, Lord, send the fire. Lord, show yourself strong in America. Lord, send the fire. Send us then the showers of blessing, refreshing. Send them upon us, O Lord. And when we have our invitation time, I want to invite you to come. Maybe come to the altar here and pray. Maybe pray at your seat or in your seat. But offer up a patriot's prayer tonight for your country. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, thank you that you've given us this space of grace, really in this country and in this whole world, right now to turn our hearts to you. And I pray that we would. Lord, I pray that you would do whatever you have to do to continue to get a hold of the hearts of the people in our country. There's unbelieving hearts, and then there's cold hearts. But Lord, I'm thankful for the hearts that are compliant, like Elijah's. Boy, he was a patriot who loved his country. And I pray that, Lord, we'd pray that way. I pray that we would pray and not stop praying. I pray that we would pray diligently, earnestly, that God, you would show yourself strong and that your glory would be manifest in our generation. And Lord, as we have our invitation time, I pray that, Lord, we would just do what we know we're supposed to do. And God, we'll commit it to you. Lord, you're in control. We thank you that you're a God in heaven who's so much better to us than we deserve. And I pray that you would have yourself, have your will, have everything made very known. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please?